Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. I'm your host, Richie Billing, and today I'm thrilled to welcome Willow Becker and Christy Nogle from Weird Little Wales Press, who have had great success with Kickstarter lately, just like Brandon Sanderson has with his $41 million campaign. They kindly agreed to chat with me about how they have found that success, and they're also going to share some insights from the publisher's perspective on the submission process and how to get published as well. It's a really interesting chat, and I'm sure you're going to learn something new, just like I did. Before we dive in, I just wanted to give you a quick reminder about our next episode, which is a very special and exclusive interview with award-winning author Adrian Tchaikovsky. This is all going to be about the writing process, and I learned an incredible amount just from chatting with Adrian for a mere hour. It's going to be brimming with insights, and I'm sure you're going to learn something new too. So to be sure you don't miss that episode, subscribe and follow the show. You can also leave us a rating or a review. Spotify have introduced this new rating system, which I think you can do through the mobile app. A lot of people have left very positive reviews so far, so thank you so much for that. If you know of anyone who might enjoy this show in your writing group, for example, or friends or family, please share it with them. It means an awful lot. That's the main way that we reach all our fans and followers. If you do want to learn more beyond this show, like, for example, if you want to learn how to write a fantasy novel or how to create a fantasy world, you can head over to our Patreon page where we've got books, we've got courses, and you can also join our writing group, which is developing into something very special, to be totally honest. There are now groups and this new Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Alliance, which have sprouted up from our group. And the Alliance, for example, I think it was set up last week or the week before, and it's got nearly 100 writers in. And the idea is just to help and support each other. So social media shares, following each other on social media, reviewing each other's books, helping with beta reads. It's a really great place to be. And if you do want to get involved and join, then please just click the link in the description. That's enough from me. Now it's time to introduce Willow and Christy from Weird Little Wales Press for a fascinating chat about how publishers work, getting published, and using Kickstarter to fund writing projects. I am delighted to welcome today Willow Becker and Christy Nogle from the very cool Weird Little Wales Press, which is based in Utah and specializing in horror, fantasy, science fiction, and adventure stories. Willow reached out to me with some very interesting news, because not only is Weird Little Wales Press the only women-owned fantasy and horror publishing company in the US. I think, is that in the US? Is that right? Is the Wales?
I would say probably not the only, but we are probably one of a very few women-owned horror publishing companies. I actually don't know off the top of my head who else is out there who might be doing what I'm doing, but I don't think it's very many. I would say it's probably five, maybe 10.
Amazing. And one of the things that Willow reached out to me about as well was to tell me about a very cool project she's done with Kickstarter to fund an upcoming anthology. And it was funded in just 36 hours, is that correct?
So our last fundraiser, our last Kickstarter last year was called Humans Are the Problem, a Monsters Anthology. And it was funded within 36 hours of us opening the Kickstarter. So it was very, very successful. Our current project funded in the allotted time that we had within those 30 days. And we were able to meet our goal and exceed it a little bit, which is awesome. It did take a little bit more time, effort, and intensity, but it was still a fantastic ride. So two different experiences, but both really interesting.
Amazing. And it's something that's really sort of captured my imagination lately off the back of Brandon Sanderson's insane Kickstarter. Was it $41 million that you managed to raise?
Yeah,
fantastic. For a series of books. Yeah. So as a digital marketer, I'm always looking at trends in anything. So when you reached out and mentioned that you were absolutely nailing the Kickstarters, I thought this is going to be something a lot of writers and a lot of our audience are going to hear about. And as both of you are editors, aren't you? And Willow, you're the CEO of the press. So mm-hmm. there's got to be some insights that you can share to us lowly scribes trying to get published.
I think that there's always a really good, I'm glad that we have both I and Christy. The truth is that I, although I'm co-editing this anthology, my job really is to make sure that all of the marketing is handled and that the business is run and that I, you know, that we are able to financially support all of the authors and also, you know, pay the bills on time. And Christy is taking a lot of the editorial role on in this anthology. Although, of course, you know, I'm here as well, but her specialty is dealing with kind of what you're asking right now, which is, you know, what kind of stories do you write? How do you write for an anthology? These are really good questions. You know, how do you know what the right tactic is to take with any prompt of any kind, especially for an anthology like this? And how do you get one of those very elusive open submission slots? Because those are pretty rare. They're usually at most 50% of an anthology. And in this case, it's 25%, and maybe just a little bit more than that for our anthology, 33%. So how do you get one of those spots? You know, what skills do you have, Christy, to be able to get into an anthology like this?
Well, it's skills, and it's also just being in the right place at the right time, because a lot of people will, and when I say a lot of people, I mean me, I will write things for one anthology sometimes, and it doesn't quite work there because it's kind of new and fresh, but then I can rework it for another anthology sometimes. So it's a matter of having a piece that's polished and doing what it should, and, you know, a good, successful piece of writing, but also being lucky and getting in into a slot that maybe the editor was holding open. You know what I mean? It's different from everything else that's going in the anthology, but it's also fitting with the other pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's actually a really good point. I think that it's hard to know exactly what's going to stick because, like, for example, the Mother anthology, our prompt is really, it's relatively broad. I mean, we're just looking for stories that feature mothers and motherhood in unique and creative ways that we've never seen before. Mothers as protagonists, mothers as antagonists, maybe people you wouldn't even consider as being eligible to be a mother as a mother, you know. I love the idea of one of my key conceptual mothers for this is the queen mother from Alien. Like, I love, she is great. She is an amazing mother. She's taking care of her eggs. She's protecting her young. And of course, this comes from me who developed Humans Are the Problem, a Monsters anthology. I love hearing stories from a monster's perspective, but the truth is that I want to hear all kinds of stories. And it is really about, you know, do you have a story that is polished, like Christy said, and is it ready? Does it have a good, solid beginning, middle, and end? And does it kind of connect with whatever the theme is that's going on in the anthology?
Do you, I mean, obviously, when you pick your themes, how much weight do you place on them?
Oh, all of the weight.
All of the weight.
I don't know. Yeah. What do you think, Christy?
I think I was excited about this theme. This theme was Willow's idea, but I was, enthusiastic when I heard it, because I think this is a theme where if people do write new stories for this theme and they don't happen to get into the anthology, they'll still have a story that's meaningful and that they can use in some other context. Whereas sometimes anthology themes are so narrow, it can be hard to market that piece of work afterward.
Yeah, I've definitely found that when I've written for a few anthologies. It's like, well, what do you do with this now? Who's going to like this? But it's I do like the challenge of writing to a theme. And, you know, if you're in the middle of a project, like a longer project, like a novel, sometimes it's really refreshing to take a break from that long form fiction and got something that excites you, like a theme, to dive into that and a little side project, and I don't know, it keeps it fresh. So do you, how, what kind of volumes of submissions do you guys receive, like on a, say, a weekly basis, or just for a whole anthology, just to give people a bit of an idea?
Yeah, our last anthology, we had 420 submissions. We were open. Yeah, we're open for 4 weeks for submissions. And for this anthology, I can't give you the exact number of how many submissions we got, because we're still in the middle of receiving those submissions at the time of this recording. But we have been open for submissions about a week, and we are closing in on 180 submissions. So
double last time then, by the sound of it.
We're looking at probably, I am projecting that we will be looking at between 600 and 800 submissions total.
Yeah. And how long would it take you to go through them?
That's the question. So we've given ourselves 6 weeks to read all of the stories. The submissions close on May 15th. We have said that we'll be completing the submissions and choosing those by July 1st. So it is quite a rigorous schedule. We do have a lot of readers. We have between 12 and 20 readers who are reading the first level. And then we have an additional set of kind of editorial readers that read at the second level.
Yeah.
And then Rick, Christy and I read the third level.
Oh, so that's an interesting process. So it's like a three sort of filtration process, three level filtration process.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's interesting. So I suppose that's the only way you can really deal with that many submissions.
Yeah. And this is, it's so sad. I should let Christy talk. The truth is that if you don't follow the directions, it's an automatic out. Like, because there are so many submissions.
Yeah.
If you do something that's odd, like so obvious that you didn't pay attention to the instructions, like you were saying before, then usually it's just automatically you're toast, unless Christy loves it.
How often does that happen, Christy?
I was going to say, I won't be seeing it, right? If somebody else notices that it's not using anonymous formatting or not doing some other thing that it's supposed to be doing, then they reject it and I won't be seeing it.
Yeah, that's typically how it works. Our internal process is really interesting, and I'll just talk about it super fast. The internal process is interesting because we actually have set up an anonymous submission process, and we did that. We have a customized anonymous submission process, so we don't use like Submittable or what's the other big one, Moksha. We don't use them. We have our own process, and it's kind of triple checked, and it ensures that we have no idea who has submitted these stories. We have no clue. Christy could submit something. I wouldn't know it was her. We just have no idea.
Yeah.
And I did that on purpose because I wanted it to be fair for our readers and our friends to be able to submit without us being biased towards them.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting process. And because of the process, we're actually each submission in its first read gets a grade. And so it's graded by two readers, and the readers can say whether or not they loved it, they liked it, they hated it, whatever. But their score, their grade becomes a combination of those two individual read scores. And then what happens is we'll filter. So anybody who gets a grade of below an 80% is automatically dumped. Like, we just drop them.
Yeah.
It means that both of the readers, but here's the thing. What I love about that is that if you have a reader who loves it and a reader who hates it, there's actually a separate flag. So even if they don't meet that 80% qualification,
yeah,
we'll flag something that someone loved and someone hated. And that could be for a number of reasons. And our readers are really cool. So if for some reason a reader said, oh, this person didn't do this anonymous submission, but I read it anyway, and it was amazing. Like, this was such an amazing story. It'll still get flagged to move up to the next level. And we'll modify the submission so that it is anonymous by the time it gets to Christy and I.
Yeah.
So it's possible to get through if you don't follow the directions, but man, it is a long shot. So it's really important to do that.
Yeah. Like, you know, that is a fantastic system, a really good system. It's really fair. And it's all about the quality. And that's what I love, the sound of it. It's a shame that more publishers don't do something similar. I do come across a few that say anonymous submissions and whatnot, but anonymous submissions are definitely fairer. But I can see why writers, the sort of certain writers anyway, the name carries weight. So if you've got George R. R. Martin in your anthology, you're obviously going to sell a few more, aren't you?
I think it's really cool. Christy has actually been a huge part of the lineup of our anthology of our featured authors, and I love what she has done. Christy, will you tell why you picked who you picked, like just a little bit, just because I just love the lineup that we have so much.
I proposed approaching a lot of the authors that I knew were actively putting short stories in anthologies, whose work that I really loved. So there are lots and lots of authors whose work I love, but they're only doing novels now or something like that. But there are still a lot of, you know, just very accomplished writers who are still appearing in anthologies regularly. So those were a lot of the people we approached, like Brian Evanson and John Langan and Sarah Reed. And then we also approached, and I could list more, like Nadia Bulkin. But we also approached some newer kind of rising stars in horror, like Shane Hawk. We were looking for a range of people who are more established and people who were more new to the scene, but all of whom were really accomplished, wonderful short story writers.
And I also have to say that I love the sheer perspective that's represented. I love that. I mean, when we put together an anthology, we really want to make sure that we are representing as much perspective as we can. And I love that we have people who are, you know, we have people from the Latino, Latinx community. We have people from kind of the South Pacific Asian community. We have people who don't identify as gender binary. And I just feel like it's really important as a publisher when we're developing developing an anthology, especially if we're going to be taking open submissions that are anonymous, that we front load the anthology with perspective, because from the anonymous submission process, we can't guarantee anything. We can't promise anything. Like, I would love it. You know, it'd be so great if they all were, you know, a unique and diverse voices, people of color. That'd be cool. I mean, that'd be like the coolest if we just like clicked and were like, oh, this is like a whole, you know, group of people of color. That's fantastic. But the odds when in horror, the odds are kind of against that right now, although they're shifting. So we like to front load it so that we have perspective and diverse voices up front. And then we'll take from our slush pile the best stories we can find, regardless. We won't know who they are.
Very cool. So you mentioned Kickstarter a bit earlier. And obviously Brandon Sanderson's mega project has captured all the headlines recently. So you've had great success with it yourself. So can you tell us a bit about that experience and what you did to help secure the funds that you needed?
Sure. Yeah. It's such a big learning curve. And I initially did this with a friend of mine who, he had already done a Kickstarter before and he had been really successful. So I learned a lot of lessons from him. And then I actually went out and we did some interviews with people who were doing Kickstarters that were doing really well. And, kind of talked to them about how they were doing it. But I think that what I've found, there are actually just a couple of rules I think that are really important when it comes to making a Kickstarter really function and really work. And I think that that has to do with network. It has to do with social media and marketing. And it has to do with having a really fantastic product. And I think that if you are in a position where you would like to do a Kickstarter and have it be functional and have it work, There are all these like little things that you have to know. For example, like the video for your Kickstarter is money. Like it's straight money. You have to have one. It has to be good. It has to look good. It has to instantly get across the kind of tone of your project and what your project's about. I think Brandon Sanderson's a really great example. You know, he just a phenomenal bait and switch, right? Like everybody, and Chrissy, did you see this?
I did not.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So when you get a second, take a look, because it's a phenomenal bait and switch, because everybody who's seen this, who I've talked to, I have a lot of fantasy friends. So he gets on this video and he's basically like, I have a confession. I need to tell my fans. And everybody who's watching this, who's a fan, is like, oh my gosh, he's quitting writing. Or, oh my gosh, he has a ghostwriter. What did you think, Richie? Like, what was your thought? What did you think? Because we all thought something.
I would probably lean towards the ghostwriter angle, the amount of words he writes for the L.
Exactly. That's what I thought. Like everybody I talked to was like, oh, he's going to tell us that he has a ghostwriter, that he has been having someone else write books for him this whole time. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what is going on? I hope that's not what he's about to say, but I'm pretty sure that's what he's about to say. And so when he finally is like, oh yeah, I have a new book and it's secret. And you're like, what? On top of your other contract? Okay, well, that's fine. And he's like, also, I have another book. And you're like, what? He's like, yeah, and I have three more. And you're like, come on, really, really? And then anyway, it's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. So he has these five secret books that he's written over the last year or two years. He wrote five additional books in addition to his contracted books, which is insane.
I don't know where he's fast this time.
Yeah, insane.
He never sleeps. Doesn't he have like six kids as well?
I know. Well, I don't know how he spends time with his family. Anyway, but it's great because he talks about the nuts and bolts, how he found the extra time, all this stuff. And then he goes on and is like, I'm just going to go ahead and publish these myself. Like, they're my books. No one knows about them. They're mine. I'm just going to do them. You want to buy them? And everyone's like, yes, take all of my money. And so like it's phenomenal, but that video was so perfect. It was perfectly him. He knew his audience. He wrote it for his audience. It was very simple. It was totally, it like probably didn't cost any money. All of my videos cost way more money than his does, which is stupid, but true. But I want it, like, if I'm going to spend money on something, I'm going to spend it on the video. So the video is really important. Other things, if you can make 50% of your Kickstarter goal in the first 48 hours, what you'll oftentimes, this is not a promise, but often what you'll do is you'll get picked up by Kickstarter's projects we love. And once you get picked up by projects we love, they'll put you into their marketing. So they'll send you out in emails. They'll add you to like the front page. Sometimes you'll be in a rotation on that front page of Kickstarter. You'll be in their discovery. You'll rank higher on their discovery process. And so that adds revenue to your Kickstarter. So they're just, you know, you got to have a good video. You have to have a really good comprehensive like story on your Kickstarter. And then of course, just have a really good product and have products and additional like kind of bonus options for people that they really want. For example, what have we sold out of, Chrissy?
Some of the checkerizations are gone and some of the workshops are gone, I think.
Yeah. So we actually have chosen to offer things to writers because we know that writers buy short stories. The bottom line is that people who write love reading short stories. At least I do. And I always have. It's a really simple way to see someone else's style, to get a handle on who an author is. It's like a taste test. And I love that. And so we've offered tuckerizations, which means you get to be inside of the story, which is so great. We've offered signed copies, which are awesome. And then we have story consultations, which are a new thing that we've done this year, which I think are, I just love them. I want to win them.
Yeah.
I keep like wanting to like win them. And I'm like, no, I can't win them because they're for the people. But I really would love to, I wish I had won Gemma Files' story consultation. I just adore her. I think she's just brilliant. So, yeah, so those are really cool things, having really good rewards. And then just being kind of a consistent publisher, a consistent voice, you know, making sure you're, you know, reaching people, touch, like connecting with them, letting them know how things are going, and also putting out the marketing that needs to be put out through paid media. I would always suggest paid media, and yeah, making sure you're ranking high on Google search if you can. So
how do you go about that? It just also interests.
Oh man, ranking high in Google, that's like a whole nother, we could have a whole discussion about this. I have my
that's
background.
My job.
Yeah, my background is in marketing. And so ranking high on Google is totally possible. It just requires a little bit of effort on a number of different fronts.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah. So like making sure that you have an optimized website, that it's super fast, that you have keywords and supporting keywords, that you're that as you're doing your Google marketing, you're bidding on long tail SEO keywords, which are instead of phrases like best fantasy book, which is not going to help you. You don't want to bid. You don't want to like try to market purchase pay-per-clicks on best fantasy book. That's a bad place to use your money, because everybody wants that, right? That's a keyword everybody wants to buy. And so Google is a bidding war. And if Random House is bidding on best fantasy books, and then I'm bidding on best fantasy books, guess who's going to win? Random House is always going to win. I'm not going to win that word.
Yeah.
But if you choose best fantasy books featuring Scotsmen, because you have a fantasy Scottish, like epic, you know, Scottish people with swords, you're probably gonna be better at that one. That's probably gonna be better. Now, the odds of someone Googling that, I'm gonna say, are relatively limited, but the 12 to 25 people that Google that, they're gonna buy your book. And that's what you want.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the great advice. It's been really interesting hearing how you go about your day-to-day life in the world of publishing. And before we finished off, I just wanted to ask you about any tips that you would offer any writers when submitting their stories, anything from like cover letters and formatting, like the email queries themselves. It's like, I often find it's these little details that writers struggle over the most. It's the overthink. So have you got any advice that you can share?
I'm going to go ahead and pass that to, Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some standard formats that people use. The one for our area, at least, is SHUNN, S-H-U-N-N. Yeah. And more and more these days, I would say that modifications of SHUNN are fairly common. So sometimes the editor will say, SHUNN, except don't have your contact information, or SHUNN, except it's supposed to be anonymous. But I think anything in a very readable font that's double spaced is probably not going to offend people too much. And a cover letter should be simple. It'll introduce yourself, thank the person for reading the submission. And if you've been published, it should list your top three publications, and that's about it. That's what I do. Just a very simple cover letter. If there's something about your identity that's really relevant to the story, then sometimes you would want to include that. For example, if you have a degree in physics and your science fiction piece deals with physics, it'd be important for a reader to know that. But otherwise, you don't want to talk about the story too much unless you're asked for a synopsis.
That's really good advice. Have you had any sort of weird queries over the years or weird submissions that have just sort of baffled you completely?
I've seen some.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had some kind of weird stuff. I hesitate. The truth is that Weird Little World Press has not been open for general submissions. We've taken a handful. We took some from PitMad last December that we still haven't worked all the way through. And then every once in a while, someone will be like, oh, I have this thing. Can I send it to you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling in a fun kind of mood. I'll take a look at that. But the truth is that right now our business model is we don't publish books that we haven't paid for. So we do the Kickstarter so we can publish the book. And if there's no money for the book, we don't publish it. And until we're at a model where I'm willing to not do that, or we come up with a good, we're working on a plan where we can provide authors the best possible. The bottom line is that authors are really important to us. And the whole reason that I started the publishing company was so that authors were getting paid appropriately for the work that they were doing. And my goal is that when we do open for submissions, we'll take novels from writers who are willing to work with us on a pay structure that is fair for them, that allows them to get the kind of money that they would get from self-publishing, except that they don't have to do the marketing work. Like, that's really what I want to do. I want to provide a place for really great stories to be published that wouldn't normally be published because the person there doesn't have they don't have the money to publish it themselves, or they know that they don't have the editorial skills, and I can help them with those things. And in return, just take a very small cut of their profit. But that's really what I want to be. I just want to be a publisher that, that really puts authors first. That's who I am. And that's who I always am going to be.
Amazing. It's great to see people taking the chance and setting up publishing companies and doing it the right way. So really well done. Thanks so much for taking the time to tell us all about it. So how can we find out a bit more about the press and about YouTube as well?
Well, that's a great, you can always go to the website, which is weirdlittleworlds.com. Check us out there. My personal website is willowdawnbecker.com. So you can like learn about me and follow my stuff. And I'm sure Christy has some fantastic ways to get in touch with her.
Yeah, I'm on ChristyNogle.com. So no, ChristyNogle.com. And then I'm on Twitter quite a bit at ChristyNogle.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And I wish you the very best of luck with all the upcoming projects. It sounds like you're having great success so far anyway. So we'll keep a keen eye out for you. I'm sure you'll be getting some awards and all kinds soon. You never know.
We fingers certainly crossed. Hope we're gonna try.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much. I'll speak to you soon. A big thank you again to Willow and Christy for taking the time out of their very, very busy schedules to chat with me about publishing and Kickstarter. Wish you the very best of luck with your current anthology, and I hope you get through all of those submissions. I hope you learned something useful too at home. And if you are looking to launch a Kickstarter campaign off the back of what you've heard today, please get in touch to let me know how it goes. I'm really interested in these kind of things. I'm always looking for new ways and new opportunities that writers can exploit to help support their careers. And Kickstarter, I mean, just off the back of Brandon Sanderson's great success, it's got a lot of people looking in this direction. So it'd be really interesting to see how other people have found it as well. Don't forget, our next episode is a very, very special interview on the writing process with multi-awards winning author Adrian Tchaikovsky, and one of my favourite writers too. So to be sure you don't miss it, subscribe and follow the show. You can also leave us a review on iTunes or a rating on the Spotify mobile app. Please do, if you've got a few seconds to spare, do leave a review. They help us so much in finding new audiences. And basically on Spotify using ratings now to determine the charts and stuff like that. So if we can get the more ratings and reviews, then we can reach more people. And that's an amazing thing, because we don't have any money to support marketing. We just do this purely for love. If you do like the show and you think other people you know might like it as well, please share it with them. That's one of the main ways that we do promote ourselves and reach new people. And if you do want to learn more about writing fantasy, you can get help and support on our Patreon page and also in our writing group, which you can join and check out via the links in the description. We'll be back on the 14th of July, and until then, keep on scribbling.